Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
Hey, and welcome to this week's edition of the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great estate plans. My name is Tim Seckler. I am a certified elder law attorney, and I am here as the host of the show each and every week to give you the information you need in order to take care of your finances and your family. We have an estate planning law firm called the Seckler Law Firm up in Cranberry Township, but we sort of support all around the Pittsburgh area. And if you stumbled across the show, welcome. We've got a couple hundred older episodes you can go check out anytime you want and learn really everything you need to know to do estate planning. But here's the thing. These radio shows, including this one here today, are not legal advice. I am an attorney. I am not yet your attorney. So we put out content like this with the hopes of giving you some information in order to make good decisions. But we still urge caution and do-it-yourself estate planning, because you're probably going to screw it up. This stuff can get pretty complicated. And if you need to have legal work completed, you need to hire a lawyer, you can find us anytime at SecklerLawFirm.com, SecklerLawFirm.com. And if you think about this stuff the way I think about this stuff, what our goal at the end of the day is to make sure that the stuff that you've worked hard to accumulate, your money, your retirement, your house, gets to the people that you love. That could be your kids, it could be other family, it could be friends, it could be your favorite nonprofit. Whoever that is for you, I want your stuff to get to your people, not into the hands of Harrisburg or Washington, D.C., or any other entity that would like to take the stuff. Now, that's a pretty simple goal, right? I mean, of course I want my stuff to get to my people. But that relatively simple goal is kind of complicated to achieve, because this government system that involves death and dying and long-term care and all of this is pretty complicated. And it turns out that complicated problems sometimes need complicated solutions. And that's why we do so much education, because there is a way to protect yourself. There is a way to protect your money. There is a way to protect your family. But you have to plan for this stuff. It's not going to happen on accident. It's not going to happen on some estate plan that is 25 years old. The world's changing, right? And so the way that we do our planning is a very realistic and pragmatic approach to protecting your family. But it requires a whole slew of estate planning documents, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we put out this kind of content. We do free workshops all around the city with the singular goal of making sure that you make good, informed decisions to protect your family. So you sign up for one of the workshops. Go to SecklerLawFirm.com and learn all about the things that that I'm teaching here on the show. Now, there is some elder law news as it is this week, and a thing that you should be aware of. There's a proposal out there that would solve a problem for a lot of people regarding this program called Estate Recovery. And there's a bill in Congress that was proposed in the last week to stop the federal government from requiring the state governments to implement a policy to do estate recovery. So I want to dig into this week. I want to explain to you how estate recovery impacts people. I want to explain where this whole thing fits in, why you should care about it, and how, even though it is the law now that Pennsylvania has an estate recovery program, we help our clients avoid the problems associated with it by planning ahead. Okay, so let's talk about estate recovery. Let's talk about how you can protect your family from this creditor, this wolf that wants to take your stuff from you. It's like a post-death pirate ship is what it is. They want to take your stuff from you. And so let's build up to what it is and talk about how we can avoid it. So here's the situation. We live in a world where a lot of people are going to need long-term care, right? A lot of the baby boomers are going to live well into their 80s. A lot of people are going to have health issues. A lot of people are going to need long-term care. That's why there's personal care homes popping up on every corner around Pittsburgh. So we're all going to need some form of long-term care. Now, if that care happens to be pretty significant, where you need a skilled nursing facility, not just personal care home or independent living, but if you need a skilled nursing facility, We often tend to look to Medicaid for financial help with the nursing homes. You know, nursing homes in Pennsylvania cost about $150,000 a year, and a lot of people can't do that for very long. And so we end up looking for government help. Now, when we look for government help, that for most folks means two different agencies. It could be Medicare or it could be Medicaid. Now, Medicare is not in the long-term care business. Medicare is in the acute care business, right? So this is the biggest broken promise that there is. We all pay into this system for 65 years with the idea that when I turn 65, I'm supposed to have this magical retirement and I'm going to have health coverage when I turn 65. I've paid into a system. I've earned the right for health care. Here's the problem with Medicare, though. Medicare does not pay for the single biggest expense that seniors face. Medicare is in the acute care business, not the long-term business. So what do I mean by that? Let's say when I'm later in life, 75, 80 years old, I have cancer. I don't want to have cancer. It would be terrible. And that's a terrible disease. However, if I'm on Medicare, this is going to be a bit of an overgeneralization, but if I'm on Medicare, Medicare pays for the medical expenses associated with fighting cancer. For example, hospitalization, medication, chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, the ways that they may treat depending on the type of cancer. Those types of treatments are considered to be acute care in nature, meaning hospitalization, et cetera, right? Acute care. Okay, that's covered by Medicare. Now, you may have some co-insurance, you may have some co-pays, and that depends on what options you select when you enroll in Medicare. But those payments are going to be made by Medicare because it's acute care. So although the disease is terrible, from a financial standpoint, fighting disease does not take away all of your money. Let's contrast that, then, with a disease that requires custodial long-term care, like dementia or Parkinson's or stroke or something that like maybe takes away your cognition, maybe takes away your ability really for self-care and understanding what's going on. Well, care associated with a thing like dementia, that is considered to be custodial long-term care, not acute care, custodial care. In the way that the powers that be in the past have decided that this thing is going to go, is if you need custodial care, skilled nursing facility long-term, you're on your own. Medicare is not going to pay for that. Medicare pays for acute care, not long-term care. So then if I end up in a nursing home, I'm out of pocket $150,000 because Medicare is not paying the bill. I'm out $12,000, $13,000 a month in a lot of situations. Now, when I go broke, I can apply for Medicaid benefits. And then Medicaid will start paying the nursing home. Okay, now I'm broke, except they allow you to keep a couple of things. For a single person, you're allowed to keep a car because ostensibly you can go home and you're going to need transportation. Now, very few people in the situation I just described are going home, but that's why they let you keep a car. So you can have a car. You can prepay a funeral because the state doesn't want to pay to bury you, so you can go ahead and prepay a funeral. You can have a couple of grand in the bank, and you can have a house. Okay, so all right, I can be eligible for Medicaid, paying the nursing home, and I can still own a home. All right, so at least the kids are going to still inherit something, right? But because I have this house, they don't count the house from a Medicaid eligibility standpoint. And so the average consumer is going to think, well, great. I mean, it's not great that we went through all of our savings, but at least the kids are still going to get something when I pass away, right? Except there's a couple problems with that conclusion. The first is oftentimes it doesn't work out that way because although you can be eligible for Medicaid, now Medicaid is paying the nursing home bill, but Medicaid is paying the nursing home bill after you have contributed your monthly income toward the nursing home bill, right? So if I've gone through my entire retirement account, I've gone through my savings, I can now apply for Medicaid benefits. I have to contribute my income toward the bill. Now in Pennsylvania, they allow me to keep the so generous amount of $45 a month for all of my personal needs. So I'm allowed to have $45 a month, which is typically blown on cigarettes or the Coke machine or a haircut. Now the money's gone, right? But so they took all my money, they took all my savings. Now I've got to give all my income under the Medicaid regs, okay? But I've still got a house. But wait a second. houses aren't free, right? Property taxes, utility bills, upkeep and maintenance. Where's the money coming from that? They took all my money. They're taking all my income. How am I going to keep a house going, right? And sometimes what will happen is the adult children are coming to an office like ours, and they'll say, hey, we want to pay dad's. We're the power of attorney. We want to sell dad's house, right? Because he can't afford to keep it anymore. And I said, well, you got to be careful, because if you sell the house, you know, the power of attorney allows you to do it. You're allowed to do it. But if you sell dad's house, now what is dad going to own? And the answer is dad's going to own the home sale proceeds. Sell the house for $250,000. Now dad's going to have $250,000 cash. Not allowed to have cash and be eligible for Medicaid. So what's going to happen is you sell the house, dad is going to lose his Medicaid eligibility until we spend $250,000 back down to the relatively low asset threshold. He's only allowed to have a couple grand. So we're gonna sell the house. He's going to have money. We got $250,000 cash. We're going to spend $250,000 on long-term care over the next 2 years. And then dad can reapply for Medicaid benefits. But then the kids will say, well, doesn't that just mean we lost the house? I'm like, yeah, that's what it means. Well, but they said when we applied for Medicaid that they don't count the house. Well, they don't count the house. But there's a little sleight of hand with the way that the state explains this, because we don't count the house, but then they give you this brochure that says, yeah, but that doesn't mean you're going to get to keep it. Okay, so then you explain this to the kid, and the kid goes, okay, all right, well, so we can't sell dad's house. But you know what we could do? What we could do is my brother and I, we have good jobs. We'll just pay dad's expenses, right? We'll pay his property tax. We'll mow the grass. We'll pay the utilities. We'll make sure that the thing is in good value. We'll just hang on to it until dad passes away. Because when dad passes away, we've read his will, and his will says it goes to me and my brother in equal shares. And so when he passes, then we'll sell the house then and we'll get the money, right? Except, no, you're not. That's not how it works. Because that house is going to be subject to this program called estate recovery, which is what we're really trying to get to today, estate recovery. So what estate recovery is the federal government requires the states to have an estate recovery program. So you see, Medicaid generally is largely federally funded and administered by the state. So all 50 states administer Medicaid a little bit differently, okay, with the exception of California, which does its own thing entirely. 49 states administer Medicaid similarly, but a little differently, right? But they're all required to have a thing called the Estate Recovery Program. Here's what it does. If someone has been eligible for Medicaid long-term care services, when they pass away, anything in their estate needs to be sold by the executor of the will to pay back the state of Pennsylvania for every penny they spent out on care, right? So wait, dad went to the nursing home. They said he could keep the house, but then we realized we didn't have any money. But we can't sell the house because he has cash, and then we lose the cash. So we want to pay the bills for dad so that when he passes away, we'll inherit the house. Except no, there's this thing called estate recovery that says you're not going to inherit the house. You, the executor, are going to sell the house to pay us back in Harrisburg for the money we spent on your dad's nursing home. Well, then why did they tell us you don't count the house? You're just waiting to take it when he passes away. Well, yeah, that's kind of how it works. But that's not right. Why are you taking his house? If he had cancer, we wouldn't be talking about losing a house, because that treatment would be acute, right? Medicare would be paying that bill. But my dad had Alzheimer's disease, and now what's happening is we're going to lose the house? Like, well, what does a person with dementia do wrong that a person with cancer does right? Why are we rewarding somebody with cancer as compared to somebody with dementia? Why is it that we have a healthcare system that picks winners and losers based on the healthcare issue we'll ultimately have? It doesn't make any damn sense, right? And you look at it and you think, well, okay, what do we do about it? Now, here's where I started the show. There's actually a bill in Congress right now that somebody has proposed. I think it's a congresswoman from Illinois, if I'm remembering correctly, has proposed a bill to stop the mandate, the federal mandate that states are required to have an estate recovery program. So maybe they're going to do away with this thing, call me cynical. I kind of doubt it, not in this Congress. But, you know, because the way these bills are proposed is they're introduced and then there's some conversation around it. But what they're really trying to do is get it passed in like a year or two. So we'll see. You know, this thing actually has gotten some press attention. The New York Times had an article on this and so did the AP. So maybe there's actual some legs behind it. They'd like to eliminate the estate recovery program, which does not fix the entire system, but it does fix a pretty important part of it. That is that people who are eligible for Medicaid are allowed to own a home, but they take it when you pass away. Okay. Now, yet to be seen if it's going to pass. And even if it is passed, the way I read the thing says the federal government will not require the states to have an estate recovery program. I don't read that it says that the states are not allowed to have an estate recovery program, right? So would Pennsylvania voluntarily forfeit the estate recovery program? I don't know. They recover millions and millions and millions of dollars a year against this program, and so I don't know that they would necessarily get rid of the estate recovery program. So that's a thing that may or may not happen. It may or may not be a solution to this problem. But there are other solutions to this problem. So this is the type of stuff that we talk about in our – we don't go in that level of detail. But what we talk about in our Three Secrets to Protect Your Family and Finances workshop that we host around town are ways to avoid it in the first place. Because I don't know that the people in Washington are going to vote for this thing. I'm not counting on it. And so how do we avoid the thing in the first place? Well, here's what's interesting. There's this debate amongst estate planners, lawyers, financial advisor types, accountants, on the use of wills versus trusts when it comes to estate plan or some combination of the two. Now, I happen to fall in the line of I think trusts are a pretty good idea. Estate recovery is one of the reasons why I think trusts are a pretty good deal. So let's talk about it for a second. There are a couple of different types of trusts, right? There are revocable trusts. There are irrevocable trusts. And when we get into the subject of irrevocable trusts, there are lots of types of irrevocable trusts. Some the average consumer should probably stay away from. They're designed for high net worth tax planning or disability planning or something that isn't relevant in your family. So there are certain types of irrevocable trusts that you wouldn't want. There are certain types of irrevocable trusts you should probably consider. Revocable living trusts, they're a pretty good idea, right? So the idea is I put some stuff into a revocable trust. I can use the money in a trust whenever I want. I can invest it however I want. I'm still in control. I still have access to the money. And when I pass away, the assets in that trust avoid probate. Okay, that can save some headache. It can save some expense and some time and all the rest. Nice, great. But here's the problem with revocable trusts. Revocable trusts don't protect assets from long-term care expenses. If I can get the money, if I can revoke the trust, then it's fully available under the Medicaid regs for long-term care. Okay. So revocable trust. A lot of people come into our office with a trust and they think they've already protected their house from the nursing home, but the house is in a revocable trust. And that means that it's fully available for your nursing home care. You haven't done anything to protect it. If I can get the money, my nursing home can get the money under the Medicaid regs. Okay. So we like to use a type of irrevocable trust to own the house because you can still sleep in the house. Nothing really changes in your world. But you cannot receive a distribution from the trust. Then when you pass away, you didn't technically own the thing, right? So we put some assets into the trust. After 5 years, Medicaid can't look at those assets anymore. They're not available for me. I gave them away some time ago. So the state really can't come after those assets. So now I've protected the money. Now if I end up in the nursing home, I can go on Medicaid benefits. The house and whatever money I put in the trust is safe. When I pass away, I don't own those assets anymore, okay? Which means they don't go through my will. The terms of the trust dictates what happens when I pass away, which means that the assets in that trust also avoid probate, just like in a revocable trust. With a revocable trust, often the goal is probate avoidance. With an irrevocable trust, often the goal is something else like taxes or asset protection, but the trust still avoids probate. Why does this matter? Because it turns out in Pennsylvania, the estate recovery program, the program that will take your house from you if you ever go to a nursing home, the estate recovery program is limited in Pennsylvania to your probate estate, Meaning, if the house doesn't go through your estate, if the house doesn't go through your will, the state of Pennsylvania cannot take your house from you. If the house is in a revocable trust, it's available for care. That doesn't solve the problem. If your house is in a certain type of irrevocable trust for more than 5 years, now they can't count it from an eligibility standpoint to begin with. And when you pass away, it avoids probate, which means it avoids estate recovery. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why so many attorneys are sending the house through the will, because the will means probate. Probate means estate recovery. All right. It's that simple. Let's review some numbers again. One in three of us are going to have dementia. Two out of three of us are going to have some form of long-term care. Okay, that's according to longtermcare.gov. And for 20% of us, that care is going to exceed 5 years. Nursing homes, skilled nursing in Pennsylvania, about 150 grand a year, right? So I got a one in three chance of having dementia. I got a two in three chance of needing long-term care. I may be one out of the five people that have the need for care for more than 5 years. And so there, this all adds up to, I might need skilled nursing. And what you're telling me is, if I use a will, when I'm on Medicaid benefits, when I pass away, they're going to take the house. And that's true. That's why a lot of my clients decide to hold their house in an irrevocable asset protection trust to protect it, one, from being counted for eligibility for Medicaid in the first place, and secondarily, when you pass away, it avoids estate recovery because it avoids probate. And I think that that is the way to do this for a lot of folks. Now, there are people that may disagree. Fine, go work with them. But if you're interested in protecting your finances, if you're interested in protecting your family, I think that's a really good way to do it. If you happen to agree with what I'm saying today, wonderful. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to educate you. Come to one of our upcoming workshops. Go to seclerlawfirm.com, seclerlawfirm.com. Go to the workshops tab, sign up for one of our free education sessions where we talk in depth about wills versus trust, revocable trust versus irrevocable trust. We teach you a lot of this stuff. Ask whatever questions you want. Because I know this stuff is complicated. If I just came on this radio show every week and said, you know, schedule a consultation, it's confusing as heck. Like, imagine not having any education and meeting with a lawyer at a billable rate who's going to explain all this to you. You're not going to understand it in a 45-minute session, right? So we do this class first. And then by the time you have the class, now you understand a little bit more about this. And then in my law firm, we do things a little bit differently, all right? So I would like to explain that to you for a second. Most law firms, you meet with the person, it's either free consultation, or in some law firms, it's a paid consultation, right? But regardless of how that works, it's still an education meeting. It has to be an education meeting. I mean, this isn't Subway. You don't get to come in here and say, I want this and that. We got to do some. Well, what are your goals? What's your diagnosis? Let's prescribe some treatment, right? I mean, we got to help you understand the world that you're in. So that first meeting has to be education. Okay, so you can either pay for education, you can get it for free. We had to make a decision, so we gave it for free. You come to an educational workshop first. Come to the workshop, we give you the education. Now, then what we used to do in our law firm is from the workshop, we'd give you the consultation, right? So now that you've got the definitions in place, now we have a workshop, right? Now we have an initial consultation, right? But here's the problem. That meeting is still largely education. And so we're having that same meeting over and over and over and over again. And you wonder why not everybody has like proper estate planning. And the answer is because it gets so darn expensive, because it takes so much lawyer time to explain this to people that they got to charge billable hours, and it just it prices people out, right? And so what we did is, wanting people to have better planning but not wanting to make it prohibitively expensive, we came up with a different concept. Our concept is a series of classes. You do it as a group, okay? Come to the Three Secrets Workshop. At the end of the Three Secrets Workshop, we'll invite you to come to a second workshop that we call our Blueprint Workshop. At the Blueprint Workshop now, consider this like the 200-level class, right? You come to the next class. It is free. We would otherwise have to charge for this. And during that, you have a workbook, and you tell me some of the answers. You know, you can tell me in a workbook which of your children you would like to be your executor, right? We don't need a necessarily a one-on-one meeting all the time to establish stuff like that. So we do this stuff in group sessions. There are certain parts of it that are more appropriate for one-on-one, and we've built that in. So we have this system where we can do group work, we do group work to save billable hours to keep the planning cheaper. The result is you end up with a much better estate plan, and you understand it better because we're spending more time with you, albeit in a group class, not one-on-one, but we're providing way more education than what we used to do. And so you get a better plan, you understand it better, but because we do it the way that we do it, we're able to keep our prices really low. We slashed our prices when we came up with this model because we can just do it more efficiently, right? So if you've been sitting on the couch, if you've been sitting on the fence about doing really good estate planning, my suggestion is you ought to check this program out. Come to secklerlawfirm.com. Come to one of our free Three Secrets workshops where we're going to explain this to you. We're going to explain the legal technical stuff to you, explain the whole process to you. Doesn't cost you anything to attend. And if what we say is for you, great. Keep working with us. If it's not, I hope you learned something. And so that's the way we've decided to do it. I hope you think it makes sense. Go to secklerlawfirm.com to sign up. Remember, folks, this radio show is for your information and education. It is not intended to be legal advice. Don't make any legal decisions based on what you heard today. If you need some legal help, hire a lawyer. We're available at secklerlawfirm.com. Thanks for listening to this week's show. I hope you learned something. Let's avoid a stay recovery together. Have a great week.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.